in nomine Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today we're doing the Ember Saturday, which is when we're wearing purple. A little bit more on that in just a second. Let me give you the readings, as I think you warned them, since there were more of them than you probably expected. But there could be more. The lesson from the book of Leviticus. In those days, the Lord said to Moses, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate a pilgrim feast for the Lord for the whole week. The first and the 8th day shall be days of complete rest. On the first day you shall gather foliage from majestic trees, branches of palms and boughs of myrtles and of valley poplars, and then for a week you shall make merry before the Lord your God. By a perpetual statute for you and your descendants, you shall keep this pilgrim feast of the Lord for one whole week in the 7th month of the year. During this week you shall dwell in bowers. Every native Israelite among you shall dwell in booths, and you and your descendants may realize that when I led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, I made them dwell in booths. I, the Lord your God, say this. From the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, there was a tabernacle in the outer part, which there was a lampstand and a table of showbread, and this is called the holy place. But beyond the second veil was the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on every side with gold. In the ark was a golden pot containing the manna and the rod of Aaron, which had budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. But all these we can now speak in detail. Such then being the arrangements, the priests always used to enter the first tabernacle to perform the sacred rites. But in the second tabernacle, the high priest alone entered once a year, alone, not without blood, which he offered for his own and the people's sins of ignorance. The Holy Spirit signified that this way into the Holy of Holies was not yet thrown open while the first tabernacle was still standing. This first tabernacle is a figure of the present time, inasmuch as the gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the worshipper in conscience, since they refer only to food and drink and various ablutions and bodily regulations imposed until a time of reformation. But when Christ appeared once and for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by human hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of the blood of goats and of calves, but by virtue of his own blood, in the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal redemption. Please stand for continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to the multitudes of this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted his vineyard. He came seeking fruit therein and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, Behold, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, therefore. Why does it still encumber the ground? But he answered him and said, Sir, let it alone this year too, till I dig around it and manure it. Perhaps it may bear fruit. And if not, then afterward you shall cut it down. Now he was teaching in one of their synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent over and utterly unable to look upwards. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her and said to her, Woman, you are delivered from your infirmity. And he laid hands upon her, and instantly she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, addressed the crowd, saying, There are 6 days in which one ought to work. On these therefore come and be cured, not upon the Sabbath. But the Lord answered and said, Hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his or her ass or ox from the manger, and lead it forth to water? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan had bound low for 18 years, ought she not to be loosened from this bond on the Sabbath? And he said these things to all of his adversaries, who were put to shame. And the entire crowd rejoiced at all the good things, the glorious things, that were done by him. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. Now today is an Ember Saturday. What does that mean? It means it's a Saturday of fasting. There are 4 times of fasting throughout the year where we engage in these sort of fasts, and it's celebrated on, I believe Christy will tell me if I'm wrong, I believe it's Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Those are the days we break on Thursday. Why? Because what does Thursday represent? Institution of the Eucharist and the Priesthood. And on these 4 times out of the year are also the times which were spread out, not just according to the seasons, but also the times when ordinations would typically occur as well. And so the fasting was, yes, for our own sins, but especially to release graces in the church, particularly for those who receive holy orders during these seasons. That's why today is a particular day. Now, with these readings that we have here, there were a number of other ones that we could have done. I chose the briefest form because you were not forewarned. And I know Kenny wants to get out there and do a lot of work today, so I won't keep you too long. He's a man who works the 6 days and rests on the 7th, but he wants to make sure he gets the full 6 days in. I get that. That's great. So for this first reading, one of the things that should be noted in there is that it's talking about the way in, well, from Leviticus. Maybe I should say it this way. Actually, on this day, the Jews today are also fasting. Jews fast today. So if you know any Jews who are observant, they're not observant, they're not doing it, but if they are observant, this is one of their greatest days of fasting, where they fast for their sins, just like it's talking about here. They go off into the booths. That's what it's talking about, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles here. And they go and remind themselves of the fact that they were delivered from Egypt. But in that deliverance, they had to go out and live in tents, wandering about in the desert. So they take that time remembering the wanderings, and the reason why they wandered, rather than going directly from Egypt there to the Holy Land, which is not very far and doesn't take very long to do, the reason why they wandered for 40 whole years was because of their sins. Because there was something of, as you read the accounting in Genesis and the Exodus, that there's something of Egypt that got stuck inside the Hebrew people. They spent so long in slavery. They had to learn what it was to be free people again. And so that's what St. Paul is drawing to in this, that was something that happened. Those sacrifices that happened at that time were things that had to be pulled out of them and offered continually, even the high priest offering those sacrifices for his own weakness. But then there would come one who would enter into the tabernacle that would not fade, but a tabernacle not made by human hands. What is that tabernacle not made by human hands? Our Lady. She wasn't made by the willing of man, but rather she was made by the willing of God to be perfect and immaculate. And so our Lord was able to enter into that tabernacle and have his tabernacle, his tent, his flesh, made not through the movement of man, as we say in the last gospel at the very end of Mass, so that he could be formed in her perfect humanity, also to have his perfect humanity come from her, and then be our redemption in this way. And that's why within the gospel, our Lord brings this strong movement out, where he reminds that there's for a time that he still has to tend to make sure that to see if this plant will bring forth any fruit, as it's supposed to be, otherwise it's going to be cast out. And he's using that as a judgment upon those who are around. Look, you got one season left. One season left to bear fruit. Do it. Our Lord gives us that same challenge. We have one season left. Some people aren't going to make it out of this coronavirus. Probably all of us are. Yeah, it's not hitting us, God willing. But that doesn't mean something else isn't going to get us. And whatever that is that's finally going to end our lives, that's the season of our lives that we have to repent. And we're not guaranteed, as Monsignor Bowman says all the time, you're not guaranteed that you're going to make it out of this church. You're not going to make it guaranteed that you're going to make it across the street. You're not guaranteed that you're going to make it home. You're not guaranteed that you're going to make it even to the Sunday to the next day. None of us are guaranteed any of that. Are we ready to meet the Lord, to greet the Lord, and to be received by the Lord? That's why our Lord finds it such a great difficulty, such a great act of hypocrisy, that the head of the synagogue says, well, come, do any other day to come be here and be healed, but not today. Today is the day when we're not supposed to do any work, and that is definitely work, so don't come to be healed on that day. And our Lord says, look, just as you take care of your beasts on that day because they need something, how can you say that this woman who has been held bound and can't take care of herself, can't do for herself, cannot be made well and given the strength that she can't receive for herself on this day? Compared to God, aren't we all but his creatures, just as that animal is the creature of the one who owns it? So therefore, it is very fitting that particularly on the day of rest, that this one is made free. So too for us. Our Lord calls us to seek him during this time of penance, to allow ourselves to be reminded of the life of slavery that we lived in sin when we refused to go to confession all those times in our lives, refused to be healed, refused to be set free. Our Lord says, now is the time, because we're not guaranteed anything. I desire to set you free. Don't wander around like the Jews, still hoping that the Messiah will one day come, even though most of them in these days seem to have given up on the idea of the Messiah actually coming. Our Lord, indeed, he will come again. Yes, at the end of time, he came in the flesh, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But our Lord, he desires to come for each of us, and that's at the moment of our leaving of this life. Now is the day of salvation, the time to let our Lord let us forth and become loosed. That's why we have confessions on this day, the Sabbath day, always on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, which is no longer merely a day of rest for us, but is a day of letting God's mercy come down upon us. Rather than doing the reading that we were going to do on Mary's zeal for God's glory, just ask the Lord for a true spirit of penance and a desire to be set free from whatever is holding us down in that slavery of sin that we refuse to let go of. Pray for those who today don't want to be let free, like where it is that they're at. So the Lord will convict them, and they won't end not just this life in a sad place, but in truth, in eternity, in the sad place which is separation from God that knows no end. The mercy of the Lord is available today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.